Okay. Slow. Okay. Amy, I probably share your sense of humor. Oh, thank you. Thank you. So before I start, and I'm just going to do a little bit of an introduction to the concept of speaking, of words. So I have a confession to make, and I hope that my confession will be helpful for you. Okay, I very often say the wrong thing. Okay, so just to put us in a reality orientation, I think what we're doing here today is unbelievable, and I'll share with you why I think the Torah thinks that what we're doing here today is unbelievable. And I continually amaze myself at how I mess up time after time after time. Yes, I will speak louder, and I am amazed at how often, just recently, I won't give you the details, they're too embarrassing, but I saw someone after a long time, and within 2 seconds gave them a little like, you really have a problem, and I think you should go take care of it. And afterwards, I was like, I cannot believe it. But so I just want to put things in reality. Often people think because I'm speaking about something that I have it all together. I don't, 100%, absolutely not. Nonetheless, I will try to do justice, a little bit of justice to the topic. Okay, words. They are so powerful. They make us. They can break us. They unite us, they divide us, they give us support, they can tear us down, they encourage us, they discourage us, they can be some of the greatest sources of joy in our lives, and they can be some of the greatest sources of pain that a person can experience. We have different parts of our lives, lady. We have the ma'aseh, we have the action, we have the experiences of life. We have the machshava, we have the way we think about things, our thoughts about things, our attitudes towards experiences. And we have the dibur, the words that are exchanged around the events in our lives. The Torah teaches us to relate to each of these aspects, to relate to action, right? A lot of mitzvahs that have to do with action, to relate to machshava, a lot of mitzvahs that have to do with thought, our attitudes, our beliefs. Dibur is always the connecting factor. If you look at the Aseret HaDibros, the Ten Commandments, just as an example, on the man to God's side, it starts with belief, goes through speech, and goes down to mitzvahs of action. The man to man side starts with action, goes through speech, and then comes to mitzvah of belief. Speech is the connecting factor. It's so powerful. It's in the middle. It's the conduit. An experience isn't just enough. Think about a wonderful experience that someone has. What's the first thing we want to do? I want to go tell somebody about it. I want to share it. And boy, do I want them to really appreciate what that experience means to me, or they're going to get it. Okay? Simple example, a child comes home, has finally succeeded on a test. I'm going to cry. I always cry at these, like, very. And mommy's not home. There's nobody there to share it with right away. All of a sudden, that amazing success, whoop. One of the saddest, it's not one of the saddest, but it was in its perspective sad. I remember someone telling me that when his wife had a baby, which is such a wonderful experience, he said, I didn't know who to call. Joy, happiness, positive experiences are accentuated, they're completed, they're It's the icing on the cake, if you will, it's the cherry on the icing, because we have people that we can share it with and people who can share our joy. Conversely, excuse me, when we experience something that's painful, that's disappointing, that's discouraging, we look to share that with others sometimes. Okay? And we are very dependent on their words to help us carry the load. Their words can be transformational. It's unbelievable. Think about it. A heavy burden can feel lighter just because of what someone else says. Or it can be that much more painful. It's really incredible. Much incredible. Now, this isn't surprising. We're familiar with a lot of the Hashkafa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us in this world with the task of creating connection. Rav Volba teaches us we have the ability to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And listen to this, ladies. What is the vehicle of connection? Our speech. Tefillah has to be spoken. HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to us, Rav Volba teaches us, through, we don't have it anymore, unfortunately, Nivu'ah, through speech. And we connect to each other, man to man. We definitely create connection through our ability to speak to each other. Dibur is chibur, right? The Hebrew word for connection, chibur. Speech is the main tool that we're given to accomplish this task, to create connection on so many different dimensions. So how are we meant to do this? How are we meant to connect? Okay, specifically we're talking here man to man. How are we meant to connect to each other? Speech is meant to be a tool of connection, a building tool. How responsible am I at the end of the day for what I say? How responsible can I possibly be? What if what I say is hurtful? What if it's painful? Is that my fault? Okay, there are so many mitzvot that talk about speech. Many, many of them. What we're going to focus on for just a little bit of time today, my segment, and then the rest will be developing the concept, is looking at specifically at the idea of sensitivity in the words that we use. Okay? If I say to a neighbor who has, and by the way, these are all true things, most of which I've said, if I say to a neighbor who has only one older daughter and runs a kindergarten in her house, gosh, your house is always so neat. And she says to me, yeah, that's because I only have one daughter. Am I responsible for that? I thought I was complimenting her. Here she is running a kindergarten and she's like, unbelievable. If I ask a woman who's married 10 years, right, I meet somebody in the car, oh, how are you? Where are you from? What's your name? How long are you married? How many kids do you have? And the answer is none. Am I responsible? If I'm trying to comfort somebody who's dealing with a terminally ill family member, and I tell her she must be a real tzaddikus, am I doing something wrong? If I say to a friend who has a child who's struggling and being Torah observant, well, at least your kid's living at home, but they're not. At least your kid is still respect you, but they don't. Am I doing the wrong thing? Am I guilty of something? How responsible are we regarding what we say to each other? What if I offend without intention? We all have had the experience of, I will now take my foot out of my mouth, because boy, did I put it in there very well. Okay? But we don't quite know what to do about it. I'd like to just mention several mitzvot that I think perhaps give us a little bit of direction, a little bit of focus, to help us address this issue. Okay, I once did actually have a conversation with someone who said to me, hey, I don't know. I mean, I'm putting the accent on. He wasn't that bad. Okay? I just always say the wrong thing. Whatever I say, I always seem to be offending somebody. I just can't get this right. It's not my fault. So when I tell that over in class, I often say to the women, and what would you do if someone said, hey, I can't help it. Whenever I get in the car and I start to drive, I always bump into something. What can I do? I try my best, but you know, whatever. Okay, that person would have their driver's license revoked. Okay, someone said a interesting / scary thought to me. Maybe we should issue permits before people get married. Issue permits before people have children. I'm scared to apply for that permit, but okay. In other words, when we talk, what kind of permit should we have? How should we think about the ways in which we speak to each other? How responsible are we? So there's several things I'm going to mention. The first mitzvah I'd like to mention is a mitzvah in the Torah, which shockingly is mentioned 3 times. It's a prohibition. Mentioned 3 times. Okay, and the prohibition is against giving bad advice to another person. Okay, seems not such a big deal. We're not talking about giving advice right now. We won't go into it. But I'm going to use this mitzvah as an illustration for something that I think is important for us tonight. Okay, the first time it's mentioned in Sefer Devarim, Parak Chav Zayin, Pasuk Yud Chet, when the Jewish people are standing in between Har Grizim, Har Eval, the blessings, the curses, and they're saying Amen, Amen, Amen. Okay, Arur Maske Iver Baderech, the Amar Kala Am Amen. Cursed is he who leads the blind astray. And everybody's like, Amen. Okay, now, not literally blind person, Rashi tells us, somebody who's blind in a specific matter or situation. Okay, doesn't know something. I give the person advice that's bad for them. That's prohibited. Mention number 2. Vayikra Perek Yud Tet Pasuk Yud Dalet. Lo Tikalel Cheresh V'lifnei Iver Lo Titein Mikshol V'yareka Melokecha Ani Hashem. Do not curse the deaf. Before the blind, do not place a stumbling block. You should have awe of Hashem, I am God. Awe of your God, I am God. Rashi, we're talking here, an iver, a blind person, is somebody who doesn't know something. If I give them advice that is not to their benefit, but to my benefit, right? Sure, you should sell your car. This is definitely the time to sell a car. Why? Because I want to buy a car. Okay, it's not to your benefit, but rather to mine. That's considered giving bad advice. And the third place, Vayikra Perak Chaf Hei Pasuk Yud Zayin V'lo Tonu Ish Et Amito V'yareitam Elokecha Ki Ani Hashem Elokechem. Okay, and you should not defraud a man, his fellow Jew, a Jew, his fellow Jew. You should have awe of God because I am Hashem, your God. Rashi, again, do not defraud. One of the things Rashi mentions, we'll come back to the other thing in a moment, don't give bad advice. Now, bad advice? I'm not trying to give you bad advice. I just want what's good for me. Sure, you should quit your job and become a babysitter. I have twins at home, but I need to stop there. Okay? Why 3 times? So my husband was zochet to hear from Rav Simcha Wasserman Zatzal. The reason it's mentioned 3 times is because the nuances are different. The first time, the nuance, there's a slight difference in intention and meaning. The first time when we're talking about curses, he who leads the blind astray, we're talking about someone who gives bad advice maliciously. I want you to lose your money. I don't want your money, but boy, would I enjoy seeing you lose yours. The second time is, I don't really want to hurt you, but I have my best interest in mind. The third time, he says, is the most subtle. I don't even realize my intentions are for me. I don't even realize that the reason that I'm telling you, the reason that I'm advising you to do what I am, is because it's really my benefit. I have mine, but that's not in front of me. I don't really understand that. I don't really get that. Okay, that's great. So now I can't do something that I have no idea that I'm doing wrong. How can I be responsible to not give bad advice when I don't even understand that I'm giving bad advice? I'm not even clued in to what my intentions are. And here is perhaps one answer. Because we can be clued in. We can be clued in. When the Torah prohibits giving bad advice, that I'm not aware what my agenda is, what the Torah means is, wake up, think for a minute, pause, look at the other person, look at what you are saying to the other person. Where do you think that's coming from? Twins, babysitting, she has a PhD and you think she'll be better off at home. Interesting. What might that be about? The Torah considers situations where we have the possibility of being more aware within our realm of responsibility. If I can't be, something I have no way of knowing, I'm not. But in areas where if I gave it some thought, if I looked at the other person and tried to see the situation from their perspective, took myself just slightly out of the picture, that's a hard one for me. I like to be, here's a family picture with mom in the front and everybody else. It's hard to remove ourselves. Happy family, you know. It's hard to remove ourselves from center stage. When we do, and we have the ability to do this, it's awesome what we might discover. Number two, the same mitzvah of lo tonu, the mitzvah that we just mentioned in terms of not giving bad advice, the way I explained it to you is to not defraud another person. Rashi tells us is the prohibition of hurting or annoying another person with our words. You mean the Torah has to tell us we need to be nice to each other? You mean the Torah has to tell me not to say things that might be hurtful? I guess so. I guess so. Okay, and listen to the examples that the Gemara brings. You're familiar with these. The kinds of things that we would say, duh, until like me, you found yourself just saying it, and then you're like, hey, I'm so glad I teach. Okay, the Gemara in Baba Metzia gives us examples. Reminding a Baal Tshuva of their past. Reminding a convert, a descendant of converts, of their past. Telling someone at the time of their suffering, well, nobody suffers for nothing, you know. Giving someone wrong directions or wrong information when they're looking to buy something. Oh, sure, you can find a dress in the store down the block and it's a Makolet. Okay, why people would do that we won't go into right now. Okay, looking like I'm interested in buying something that I have no interest or intention of ever buying. Asking someone to answer a question that I know they don't know the answer to. Those are the examples that the Gemara brings. The Shulchan Aruch adds, using derogatory nicknames. Okay, I love this one. I call you Chubsy because I love you. You don't mind, do you? Okay, what's the message here? The message is that there are things that we can all understand. There are things that are potentially painful and difficult. We can understand them. They may be universal and they may be individual. We have the capacity as human beings to work to understand where another person is coming from. Okay? I often like to ask, what do these things have in common? You know, a person who has a convert, somebody who's suffering at this moment, somebody who wants to buy a new dress is sent to the wrong store, somebody who is just wasting someone's time because they look like they're going to buy something they're not, they don't know the answer to a question. What do these things have in common? Perhaps one way of understanding what they share in common is that person is in a place of vulnerability. There's something that they don't know, there's something that's difficult, there's something that's painful going on right now. My words cannot, I don't create the situation. This is really important. It's not me who is creating their painful or difficult situation or their vulnerability. That's from Hashem. But I can make it worse. That's from me. Okay, on a practical level, before I freak everybody out, we're not responsible for things that we really had no intention of and no way of knowing. However, once again, I invite us to think about how much we really can know if we give it a little bit of thought. Okay, a third mitzvah that I'd like to add, a mitzvah we're very familiar with, I'd like to perhaps use it with a little bit of a different spin on it, is the mitzvah of Dan L'Katzchus, the mitzvah of judging meritoriously. We're familiar with it, thank God, a lot of people are using it. Baruch Hashem. I hope I'm the recipient of it from time to time, because otherwise it can cause a lot of misunderstanding when we don't use Dan L'Katzchus. What I'd like to share with you here is a slightly different spin. We don't ever know what's going on with another person. We don't. But she's smiling. She looks happy. She comes to work every day. Her kids are dressed. Some challenging situations are obvious. Illness, divorce, childlessness. Many are not. They're not obvious. If someone's not returning my calls, what I may not know is if she's running from doctor to doctor or that she's depressed. Someone's not inviting me over. I've invited them over 10 times for Shabbos. They're not reciprocating. Okay, and again, if these situations sound outrageous to you, many of them are true. Okay, I may not know that she's embarrassed she doesn't have enough food to put on the table because of dire financial circumstances. Okay, they may be experiencing tremendous marital discord and are too embarrassed to have people over. They may be having a child who's going through divorce, and their time and their energy is completely depleted. They may have a husband or a child with an emotional or mental disability that it's really, really difficult for them to have people over in light of, but they don't want to talk about it. They don't really want to share that. Okay, and many, many other examples. I'm not suggesting here, ladies, okay, you know, my friend is not returning my calls. Oh my gosh, she must be terminally ill. I'm not trying to suggest that. I'm really not. Nor am I suggesting that you not address the issues. Okay? However, what I'm suggesting, what I'm trying to share with you, is in the spirit of Dan L'Katzchus that we remind ourselves, I don't necessarily see everything that's going on. I just don't know. Leave a little slack space. Leave a little bit of room for people's own lives that I may or may not be aware of. Okay, again, my confessions are endless. I just remember and I chuckle/cringe you know, many, many years ago when I spoke to a friend of mine who was having a fertility issue, I said, so how are you feeling about this issue? So what's going on? What's doing? And she's like, I don't want to talk about it. And I walked away thinking, never, she's really got a problem. She really has to work on getting a grip on her issue. Just to give you a little taste of the real me, ladies. Okay. I remember once sending someone to a woman to seek some guidance, right? It was a woman, a well-known teacher who lived in her neighborhood. I said, you know, why don't you give this woman a call? I had just heard a class from her, and she sounds amazing. And the woman, in fact, called her. She was going through a lot of marital difficulties, and she needed someone to speak to. And the woman said to her, I would love to be able to help you. And my daughter is going through a really messy divorce, and I just don't have the time and the energy right now. Okay, I really don't have the time and the energy to be able to help you right now. Okay, she was able to put it out there. People can't always do that. Okay, what do we say? What can we say? I mentioned once a pretty significant issue. Let's take an issue of my husband lost his job. Okay, in passing to a friend. Oh, and, you know, I cooked this schnitzel for dinner, and my husband lost his job, and I'm going tomorrow to a hasana. It was, like, really like that. She called me back a couple of days later. She said, you know, I just want you to know that I heard what you said. I don't know if you want to talk about it, and I don't know what I can do for you, but I just want you to know that I heard. And if there's any way that I can help you, let me know. This is really, really amazing. Okay? So the Dhamma of Schus, again, to be sensitive, to be thinking, again, I'm also not suggesting that if my friend is not returning my calls, I never raise the issue with her. I may want to raise the issue, but again, with a sensitivity. I miss that we haven't been in touch lately. I would love if we could speak more. I'm wondering, you know, if anything, what that's about. I just wanted to let you know. Like Amy said, I just wanted to let you know. I miss our being in touch. Okay. Another aspect of Dhamma Kav Schus, I'll share this with you. This past Yom HaZikaron. So I live in a mixed neighborhood. And the recent immigrants to the neighborhood are more Anglo-Haredim. Not huge multitudes, but visible. Okay, the neighborhood is older, Israeli, more Dati-Leumi, wide range of people. Yom HaZikaron is a big day. There were people from the neighborhood who were lost, and they always have a tekes, they have a little ceremony on Yom HaZikaron. A woman in the neighborhood who's lived there here in my neighborhood many, many years said to a group of us afterwards, you know, I wish some of you had come because people felt offended. Okay? Nobody, the people who are more Anglo-Haredim, who have less personal connection to the people who were lost from the neighborhood for other technical reasons, which I won't go into, also had misgivings about going, but it wasn't such a big thing. People just didn't give it. I actually wasn't physically there, but that doesn't matter. To think, if I had given it any thought, I would have seen it from a different perspective. Okay? And I 100% Modeh al ha'emet, I just didn't give it the time of day. I just didn't think about it. Is it possible to be overly sensitive? Can we get a little neurotic? For sure. Okay, this is not, the idea is not to get neurotic. Okay, I've had my share of neurosis also. When I was inviting people to my daughter's hasana, and I said to a friend of mine, I just want to invite you, don't feel obligated, I know it's hard, and you know, you really shouldn't put yourself out too much. She said, do you want me to come or not? Okay, so we definitely need to, you know, find moderation there, okay? But it's awareness. Thinking, awareness, the Torah considers us able, we're capable of being aware. Okay, the reality, we often get it wrong. We do. Practically, what can we do when we get it wrong? Well, apology is a really big thing. Asking mechila, recognizing, you know, I think I might have overstepped my bounds in what I just said. You know, I was trying to be there, and I'm not sure I quite hit the mark. So if in any way that was painful, hurtful, just not helpful, you know, I'm sorry. Okay, is it so hard to be sensitive? Is it so hard to be empathetic and so hard to really be able to support each other? Yeah, yeah. You know, on the one hand, my answer is yes. If it takes what it takes for NASA to send a rocket to the moon, well, you know what? Every human being is a different world. We're all different people. And to be able to create connection between two people who are different worlds absolutely takes effort. Absolutely. Okay? But we can build bridges between us. I started out suggesting that that's the essence of what we're here to do. We're here to build bridges between us. That's what life is all about. That's the beauty of being a human being, that we can build bridges. We can support each other. We can care about each other. We can connect to each other in a way that makes life an enriching and loving experience. Okay, what I would end with is one of my all-time favorites is, I know just how you feel. My real response, when that person says that, I think responded with various types of smiles or I don't know what, jaw locks, I'm not sure what I looked like. I try to smile, but my response inside is, even if you've gone through what I've gone through, how would you know how I feel? Because I certainly didn't tell you. So, what I would end sharing with you is that sensitivity with words, awareness of each other, on the one hand, yes, it's a daunting challenge, perhaps. On the other hand, it is so accessible to us. It's hard. The Torah is mitzvah. It was so obvious and so simple, perhaps we wouldn't have the mitzvah, we wouldn't need the mitzvah. On the other hand, we can look at it and say this mitzvah builds connection. We have the ability as human beings to connect to each other, to not fully stand in each other's shoes, but to be supportive and to really care about other people. I think one of the themes that stands out for me, and I'll end, is respecting the olam, respecting the fact that every person is a whole world, a complex, very rich, very full world. The more I know for me, I respect other people, I value other people. I may not understand their experience, but it transforms the way that I attempt to make connection with them. Bahatzlacha, I know I need it. Okay, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be mezaka all of us, because we're taught that global peace, the achdus of the Jewish people, starts between every two. The way we work on our connections, our relationships, is going to have a ripple out effect, and Mir Tashem, we really, really will bring Mashiach. Amen.